a couple of years in getting this ready. I'd certainly like to welcome our amateur radio operators, Robert Broomhead, who was speaking a moment ago, and also to Jack. Is it Jack Brabham or Jack?
Brabham.
Yep, Jack Brabham at the front. So thank you very much for participating today. And also, you would have noticed the broadcasting crew live video, casting live video to Mount Dandenong on going on TV. Trevor Close, who's outside, and Mike Lamp. I'd like you to put your hands together for those people that are here tonight. I'd like to go back just a little bit, and I'd like our students in particular to be really listening very carefully. This whole process started over 2 years ago, and I'd like to in particular thank Raylene O'Callaghan, who's on our school council. 2 years ago, she said to us at school council she'd heard about a school talking to the space station. We thought, gee, that's an amazing thing. We had never given that any thought. And from that simple idea, I thought, well, it seems to me like a lot of work. So I then asked Lyndall Pallad, who's here as well, if Lyndall, probably somewhere hidden in the area, and I said to her, Lyndall down the back, she's here with her baby tonight, could she look into that? And so that started 2 years ago. There were lots of emails and all sorts of things that happened, and it took a number of months, certainly a number of months, over a year, before we had contact that said we were going to have this opportunity. And in particular, from that early start, I'd like to thank the work of Melissa DeFabio in particular and Tim Campbell for the work they've done. Melissa's out the front. She's our 5-6 coordinator because she's really put in the effort. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about what's actually happened because the important thing is what's going to happen in 20 minutes or so. But in particular, I would like to tell you that what an opportunity our students have got, once in a lifetime opportunity. There are only 8 schools in Australia, I believe, that are having this happen this year. And I think it represents the sort of turnout that we're having, the work that the children are doing in the classrooms as well. So congratulations to everyone in the support that you've given us. I'll give that back to you. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for that. And you've got a fantastic school here, a great principal and some very dedicated teachers too. You should be proud. Hey, as I said before, we're radio amateurs. We experiment with two-way radio communication. And we just, as your principal mentioned just a moment ago, what's happening here tonight is going live via a television transmitter on Mount Dandenong. It's not one of your normal TV stations. It's not 7, 9 or 10 or one of those stations. But we as radio amateurs have built our own TV transmitter. We're allowed to do it. It's all legal. We get special licences and we're allowed to do this kind of stuff. So it's actually going out live tonight on TV. And there's probably some viewers at home who will be... G'day to all the viewers out there in TV land. I'll probably get some comments via email tonight from that. I will, won't I, Joe? Yeah. Okay, radio amateurs. As I said, we experiment with two-way radio. Here's a friend of mine. He's talking on his two-way radio in this big radio box that's behind him. It allows him to talk all the way around the world via radio. Radio's been around for a long time, and about 100 years in Australia. In fact, we've just celebrated 100 years of radio experimentation in Australia. How many radio amateurs do you think we've actually got here in Australia? What, a couple of hundred? A couple of thousand? 14,500 people here in Australia experiment with two-way radio. Young people also, here's a person here with just a little handheld walkie-talkie type radio. We get to play with those. Scouts, we also get involved with two-way radio. You can use these radios in your car. It's a bit like CB. Who's heard of CB radio? Okay, we all know CB radio. Well, it's a bit like CB radio, but it's much, much better. You can talk to people much further than you can on CB right around the world. Young people get, as I said, scouts get involved with it. People at home. And even young people, that's this young person here has got his amateur radio license. There it is there, that's the license and some radio equipment he's using to talk around the world. Of course, tonight we're going to be talking to the people on the International Space Station. One of the things that NASA does in part of its PR program is it makes sure that all of the astronauts that go up onto the International Space Station have got amateur radio licenses. And that means that they can talk from the space station using radio back to Earth, and groups and people like ourselves help facilitate these contacts. We also help out in times of emergency, 9/11 and bushfires and things like that. Even if we're not directly using our own amateur radio equipment, we are second operators who will go along and help the CFA and the SES man the radios whilst they're out in the field working. Yes, that's the picture of the International Space Station. That's what we'll be talking to tonight. And that's what it looks like inside the International Space Station. We've got the call sign NA1SS. That's the call sign of the space station. Call sign. That's a bit like a radio station call sign, you know, like 3AW or any other radio station call sign. We've all got call signs. And so does the space station. The space station call sign is NA1SS. Is the astronaut talking on the radio? There's a microphone there in his hand. He's talking back to a school on Earth. And there's a picture of another school contact. It happened here in Melbourne. Who knows who this person is? He's a famous Australian astronaut. Any guesses? From South Australia? Come on, help me out. Somebody? Call it out. Not Neil Armstrong. Sorry? Yes. How about one of the radio amateurs? Joe, who would this person be? Andrew Thomas, Andy Thomas. And he's from Adelaide. And he's a famous NASA astronaut, and Andy has spent time on the International Space Station. And a couple of us here, Jack and myself, we actually had the privilege of speaking to Andy whilst he was flying around on his International Space Station using our handheld two-way radios. It was pretty special. We have what we call QSL cards. They're like postcards that we swap when we make contact with people. There's a card there from the International Space Station. Of course, our people like to build things, so there's some here's some pictures of people building antennas and some antennas that have been built for something called fox hunting. It's where we do hidden transmitter hunts. We hide a transmitter and we go and try and find it. Sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? It's a lot of fun. These are just pictures of some of the sorts of radios we get to play with. There's a person at his home station. That radio that he's got there will talk all the way around the world. There's another person at his home station. This little bit more technical, this one, isn't it? If you want to get involved in the hobby, we, as a club, that's the group that Jack and myself and others are members of, our club runs courses, as does the other clubs around Victoria. Mick, who's outside with the TV transmitter, he belongs to another club. They also run courses. We'd love you to come along and join in the hobby if you'd like. To get involved, we run weekend training courses. There are three levels of radio license, and the one that you start off on is something called Foundation. You can do that just with a weekend training course. You can come to our club rooms, do a course. It's not expensive. Do some study. There's a book that you use to that gives you all of the information. And you can become involved in what we do if anyone here is interested. Just come and talk to one of us afterwards. We've got some leaflets and information. Great. Oh, now we've got a special guest.
A very special guest has arrived. So I'd like to welcome our own astronaut. And here he comes. Let's give him a big clap. Well done. Well done. So later on when we're finished, our astronaut will be around to meet you as well. And hopefully, quiet. And hopefully you'll have an opportunity to take some photos with our astronaut as well at the end of the day. So thank you. Put your hands together for Tim. Well done. You get a chance, as I said before, to have photos if you'd like later. So thanks again, Robert. Because I think we're getting close to the time, aren't we? Or have you got a bit more time?
Yeah, we've got about 10 more minutes to go. What we might do is have a quick look at a video and that was taken inside. This video here will give you a little bit of a look at what it's like inside the International Space Station. What is life to live life on board? Let me just... So you're living in a... there's no gravity up there on the International Space Station, so everyone gets to float around.
The International Space Station will be in range in 8 minutes.
Learning how to fly in space. So there's one of the astronauts communicating back using video conferencing back to Earth. So see the shaver he's using? He's shaving his hair and his face. He's got a hose off the end, because you know what would happen if you didn't have that hose and suction on? Little bits of hair would be floating all around the space station, then that wouldn't be good. This is where they sleep. He's just coming out of bed. And that's what it looks like looking back out the window of the space station. What do you reckon that is?
The International Space Station will be in range in 7 minutes.
That is a blob of water. That's what happens with water when there's no gravity. Riding on a spaceship. That's the space shuttle. So how do they get to the food and the supplies to the International Space Station? They use one of these shuttle rockets. And these shuttles go periodically backwards and forwards to the space station to bring the supplies. One of the things that the guys and the girls do on the space station is that they work to a daily program of conducting scientific experiments. So one of the things that we're learning is what happens to plants and nature when it's in a weightless environment.
The International Space Station will be in range in 6 minutes.
International Partnership.
Okay, we're actually making contact now with the International Space Station, so we'll let you have a little bit of a listen to what's going on.
Preston. Okay, that sounds like we've got audio up now, so we're pretty much right to start. I'll just get Robert to bring up Satscape so they can see where the actual space station is at the moment, and you can start proceedings when you feel like it there. Tony, over.
Okay, thanks, Jack. I'll start the official introduction now. Hello, everyone. This is Tony Hutchison, VK5ZAI, your moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew on the ISS, we soon hope to establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 350 kilometres above the Earth over Houston in Texas. This is all accomplished with ARRIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. The ISS is currently flying over British Columbia and will be approaching Houston from the northwesterly direction. The contact for today will be performed using the ARRIS Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. The audio of today's contact will also be available live around the world via the amateur radio Echolink and IRLP networks handled by John, AG9D, in Montgomery, Illinois. Thanks, John. The ARRIS is a consortium of volunteers of nine nations that develop and operate the amateur radio equipment on board the International Space Station. Those that support ARRIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT Amateur Radio Satellite Corporations, Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, Japanese Space Agency, and the Russian Space Agency, and of course NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the ISS today is W5RRR, located at the Johnson Space Center in Houston and operated by Larry Dietrich, WD8KUJ. Thanks for helping us out today, Larry. We have about 4 minutes until contact time now. Our link up today will be with students from the Preston Northeast Primary School in Preston, Victoria, Australia. Now let's check in with the school. We've asked their teacher, Melissa DiFabio, to please tell us about the school and the students that are taking part today. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you, Tony. Preston Northeast Primary School is located on the corner of Laurel and Tyler Streets, Preston, Victoria, in Australia. The school has a current enrolment of 300 students. Our school offers a challenging and comprehensive curriculum that equips children with the necessary skills and knowledge to become well-adjusted adults and contributing members of the community. The school offers a challenging and comprehensive curriculum that equips children with the necessary skills and knowledge to become well-adjusted adults and contributing members of the community. The school maintains an extensive curriculum in all VALS domains. Information and communication technology continues to be a high priority at the school. Students access a computer laboratory and networked classroom computers, and we have interactive whiteboards which are found all across the classrooms in the school. Thank you. Over.
Thanks, Melissa. Larry, I'd like you to just tell us a little about your station in Houston and how you'll handle the conversation today.
Okay. We're here at the Johnson Space Center Amateur Radio Club at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. We have a Kenwood TS-2000 transceiver that is connected to our computer-controlled tracking antennas, and we'll be tracking the station as it goes over the Houston sky. Over.
Thanks, Larry. Well, I make it about 2 minutes before we have a link up with the space station. Remember, what we're doing on the ISS is an experiment, so we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And students, don't forget to say over at the end of each question. Okay, in about 1 minute, you're coming over Houston. So, Larry, it's all yours and good luck.
Okay, we're just waiting until the station comes up over the horizon. NA1SS, NA1SS, W5, RRR, over. NA1SS, NA1SS, W5, RRR, over. NA1SS, NA1SS, W5, RRR, over. NA1SS, NA1SS, W5, RRR, over.
Listening to everyone, it's about very quiet. This is going on.
NA1SS, W5, RRR, over. NA1SS, W5, RRR. You're just a little bit weak, but I think that's good contact. School, go ahead with your first question.
Hi, I'm Matteo, and I'd like to ask, how does the ISS move around Earth without an engine? Over.
Harder and harder, it's going to go a little further and a little further. If you shoot that ball out of a cannon off the top of the mountain, it will go even further. Well, we've used rockets to shoot ourselves and the space station in it and its pieces off the Earth really, really hard, but eventually we will fall. We will actually come back to Earth, but it happens so slowly, and we use some of the vehicles that we come aboard with their extra fuel to give us extra energy to stay in orbit. Over.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and my question is, what can you tell us about the Lotus Flower space gear? Over.
Daniel, you have asked a really excellent question, and I will tell you that I have asked all of the crew members, there are six of us here, three from Russia, two from the U.S., and one from Italy, and none of us know about the Lotus plant, and we want to find out. So I think you have to find out another way, and we'll be looking to find out as well. Over.
Hi, my name is Kevin, and my question is, what happens if there is an emergency on board the ISS and there is no one to contact? Over.
Kevin, great question, and that is something that we practice all the time as a crew, as six people, or even as three people, because sometimes when one vehicle has gone, there will only be three of us aboard. We practice as if we will get no help from the ground, and we have procedures that are written that way. And we also try to remember, even if things are happening very fast, we try to remember that we can try all our mechanisms to contact the ground, even ham radio. Over.
Hi, my name is Jody, and I would like to ask, is there any proof as to the existence of vegetation or inhabitants in other planets rather than Earth? Over.
Jody, it's hard to say whether there's proof or not. There's a lot of different facts that we're considering to show whether we have seen whether Mars and other planets like it have had life on them. I am confident that we will be finding out that we are not alone, but so far, no hard evidence that is clear to everyone. Over.
Hi, my name is Tom, and my question is, where did you get your inspiration to become an astronaut? Over.
When I was younger, I met an astronaut, Dr. Sally Ride, and when I met her, I realized, wow, she's a real person, just like me. And it made me realize that maybe I could do this job, and that I should work hard, and I should try. And that's why I'm talking to you today, hoping that all of you will realize that jobs that you think are just for special people are actually for you. Doesn't mean you all have to be astronauts, but it does mean that you can have your dream job if you work hard. Over.
Hi, my name is Reese. How long does it take to get from the Earth to the ISS? Over.
It takes only 8.5 minutes to get to low Earth orbit, to be circling the Earth, but then we take another 2 days to actually get to the space station, and hopefully you'll see that on Thursday the space shuttle launches, and on Saturday afternoon they will dock with the space station. Over.
Hi, my name is Ben. What happens if you get a cut while on board the ISS? Will all the blood come out quickly? Over.
Ben, it's a really interesting question. The blood, I think, will come out at the same rate because that's dictated by your heart pumping the blood out of whatever hole or cut you got. But what is different is it won't be falling on the ground. It will just be welling up around the cut, which might make it harder to get to the cut to, you know, tape it back together. But we have all those kinds of supplies on board, and we can fix things like that, and we're trained. Over.
Hi, my name is Laurie, and my question is, can oxygen be recycled? What happens to carbon dioxide after you breathe it out? Over.
Laurie, it's not so much that we recycle the oxygen. The oxygen stays pure, but just as your question asks, we have to actually remove the carbon dioxide. And we use that using some filters that take out the CO2 and clean our air. And so that gives us clean air to breathe. Over.
Hi, my name is Henry, and my question is the ISS in danger of colliding with meteorites or space junk? Over.
Well, Henry, I wouldn't say in danger, but I will say that there is a certain probability that we could hit meteorites or space junk, and we have people around the world for their jobs tracking the big pieces of space junk and making sure that if they are on a collision path with us, that we actually will move the space station. Over.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. And my question is, how long did it take to assemble the ISS? Over.
What your definition of assembled, meaning it's all finished, is, I would say it took a little more than 10 years. And that's because all the pieces had to come up from the Earth and then be put together by the robotic arm or by docking together up here in space. So it took a long time, but we're actually always improving. Over.
My name is Rebecca, and my question is, how big is the International Space Station in meters? Over.
Rebecca, I know some of the dimensions. One of them is the truss that goes across the space station. It's not the part that we live in. It's where our equipment is stored, and that truss is about 100 meters long. And then each solar array from tip to tip, meaning the top part and the bottom part put together, is 72 meters long. And the reason that we know those things is that when we approach in a Soyuz or in a space shuttle, we need to know how close we are. When are we going to get to the space station? And we do that by seeing how big the space station appears in our windows. So we use those measurements. Over.
Hi, my name is Amelia. My question is, how long can you be in space for at any one time? Over.
Amelia, I think you could be up here for a very, very, very long time, especially if you do things like exercise every day, which we do to keep our bones and our muscles strong. We've had people be up in space for more than a year. My mission is almost 6 months, and I'm very excited about it, and I really actually don't want to come home quite yet, so I'm hoping for longer than 6 months. Over.
What new research Hi, my name's Ethan. What new research have you conducted in the last 12 months? Over.
Ethan, we have 130 different science experiments on board the space station, so every day I do some part of some of them. We are growing crystals, we are looking at fluid physics, actually just today we have a combustion rack that is looking at how combustion or fire or burning things really happens. And by learning those things up here in space, where things burn a little bit differently, a little more slowly, we can find out a lot about how pollution happens. Over.
Hi, my name is Ricky, and the question I'd like to say, what do you enjoy most about your job? Over.
Well, Ricky, I certainly love being in space and being on a space mission. But I will tell you that I've been an astronaut for almost 20 years, a long time. And until I came to the space station right now, I'm just
I think we've just lost Catherine. This is the operator from Preston. Would everyone like to give a big cheer for Catherine on the International Space Station? Thank you, Lowe. You can take it over.
Well, thanks very much, Larry. And ladies and gentlemen, we've just shared a moment in history. Amateur radio station, W5RRR, operated by Larry Dietrich, WD8KUJ in Houston, contacted astronaut Catherine Coleman, KC5ZTH, aboard the International Space Station, and spoke with students of the Preston Northeast Primary School in Preston, Victoria, Australia. Now for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the amateur radio satellite corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, Canadian Space Agent, European Space Agency, Japanese Space Agency, and Roscosmos, and NASA. This is Tony Hutchison, amateur radio operator, VK5ZAI, in Kingston, Southeast, South Australia, sending my greetings to all of you in amateur radio terms 73s, which means best wishes. Well, thanks very much, everyone. And Jack, were you happy with the way the contact went?
Okay, well, whilst Jack is talking there to Tony, let's put our hands together for Tony. He might even hear us through the microphone. There you go, Tony, that one's for you. Tony Hutchison, he's from Adelaide, and he dedicates his time, most of his spare time, to arranging these school contacts throughout Australia and throughout the world. Look, we've got something special for the kids tonight. But I'm going to call upon Melissa. Hasn't Melissa done a great job organising tonight? The barbecue outside. And I must say, I've never seen this many parents and this many students turn up to one of these contacts. It really is fantastic. Melissa, if I can get you to help with the certificates.
Definitely. Look, I think the students did a fantastic job. I think they need to be given a big round of applause. It's very hard to stand up and actually do this, and they did an amazing job. So well done. And we have some special certificates for these students tonight. I call upon these students to come and collect their certificates. Matteo Pasilacqua. Good boy. Well done. Just wait there. Daniel Zhu. Well done, good boy. Congratulations to Kevin Ewan.
Well done, Kevin, good boy.
Congratulations to Jody Liu. Call upon Tom Dixon. Oop, got one there. Reese Reading, well done. Benjamin Hang, well done. Laurie McClelland, well done. Excellent. Henry Trung, fantastic. Congratulations to Caitlin Haynes. Well done, Caitlin. To Rebecca Yin. Congratulations to Amelia Canning. congratulations to Ethan Fagan. And last but not least, congratulations to Ricky Duffin. Well done. I think we need to give a big round of applause to the students once more. They did a fantastic job. Well done. I'll just hand over to Mr. Librari, who wants to say some final words.
Just to finish off, first of all, congratulations to the students that got up and went through that process of asking those questions. It's not an easy thing to do to stand in front of a group. And in particular, I'm sure that there were some moments when they were a little bit worried about what they were doing, but they've practiced really well. Secondly, I'd like to thank all of the staff for the time and effort they've put in, including the barbecue in preparation, but also in the work that they put in their classrooms in talking to the students about the unit of space that we've done and are doing during term one. I'd also like to just say to the students and say to the parents, as I was standing there looking at what was happening, I was thinking, well, what's going to happen for these students in 25 years' time when they're sitting where you are and their children are sitting where they are? And what sort of conversation are we having with space stations and maybe travel to planets? I wonder how many of you thought about what was going to be happening tonight 25 years ago, just that process of communication and the things that are happening and that closeness that's happening day by day as technology is growing and developing. I certainly would like to say to the students and the parents, if you are encouraging your students to take up something new, what a fantastic hobby that some of the adults around you have in place, and certainly amateur radio is a great hobby to take up, and one that will last with them forever, as it would be for TV and so on as well. So that process of learning, if you as parents can encourage your children to keep learning, they're only going to be better for that. But the world is becoming closer and closer. It only seems like yesterday I was at Teachers College in 1969 and it was the first landing of man on the moon. It just doesn't seem that long ago. So imagine what's going to happen in 50 years from now. Thank you all for coming. You've done a fantastic job. And don't stand up yet. We don't want anyone going yet. Can I just say thank you to those people that have been here tonight, given up their time, filming, making contact with NASA and so on. Can you put your hands together for them, because they do that free of charge? So thank you.